This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, Paul, talking to the Ephesians, he's just gone all through where they are in Christ. First chapter, they've been raised up, they've been made to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All power and all authority, all dominion has been given to him. We're raised up, made to sit with him. And so the first thing the scripture tells us to do, know where God has placed you. You didn't get there, I didn't get there by any works or anything that I had done. When I was dead in sin, he raised me up. When I was an enemy of God, he saved me and he raised me up. And I'm just, how did I get here? How did I get in this place of the favor of God, the blessing of God? How did I get saved? How did I get blessed? Not just delivered, not just saved, but made the Son of God in Christ. So that's where we're sitting. So just sit, but stay in that position. And then after that, because of all that, Paul says to him, right, because of all that, this is how you should live. You don't live to try to get there. You don't do your Christianity to try to get there. He's already put you there. Well, that fixes our ego, doesn't it? I did this and I did that. So Paul says, because of all that, walk. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Walk in peace. Walk in light. Well, there's where our conflict starts to come in. David, love your wife. Oh, yes, oh, she's so good. Cooks me all these meals and all this stuff. And then we have a bit of conflict. I start to struggle with that one. I can love her when she's good, but is she here? Oh, she's here. you know me. You know me. I'm amazed at the wife God's given me. But, so all jokes aside, right at the end of Ephesians, he tells them how to walk in every situation of life. That's where your Christianity really should outwork. Not here in the church, not here in a meeting, in your home, in your workplace, with your neighbours. Starting to get little twinges of, whoops, maybe I haven't been too good in those, maybe I've fallen short. Well, don't then try in your own efforts to patch it up, because you can't. Get back to where you started, when you were helpless, when in fact you're an enemy, and you've just been lifted up with Christ, and it's just this, oh, how can I not serve you? How can I not love you? How can I not just sit at your feet and work? That's what worship's all about. You know, I agree with teaching about praise and worship, but I get fed up with hearing it as a method. As if, you know, if you praise God this way, then this will happen and that happen. Yeah, so God's like this big machine in the sky. If you press his buttons right, you can get him to do what you want. And I'm not saying that that's everyone, but I'm saying that as Christians, as church people, we've been in the Lord, many of us, for many years, and we've decided to give our lives to him and to follow Jesus. And he said, if you follow me, everything is going to be easy. Everything is going to be wonderful. You'll never have troubles in your life. It'll be like floating on cloud nine if you follow me. I'm glad you're laughing. What does he say? If you want to follow me, I've got nowhere to lay my head. I've got no security in this world at all. You sure you still want to follow me? And he said, if you do want to follow me, you've actually got to deny it yourself. Because there's the real problem for every Christian here. Me. David Keyes is the biggest problem. He is the biggest problem. And we should do that to ourselves. And get to that point where, like Paul, we can say, in me, there is, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Nothing. And, you know, Paul, he's even said, here he's serving God. He's doing the absolute best to serve God. And God even took him into a place where he despaired of his own life. He said, I had the sentence of death in me. In other words, I'm dying. And probably if it were, are you? Why is everything against me? Why is nothing working out? God, I've been doing everything this that I'm doing for you. I've read all your promises and you do this and you do that. But he had the sentence of death in himself. You know what he said in relation to that? God showed him that he was not to trust in himself in any way, not to trust in his experiences he'd had in the past in God. You know, we can do that. We can have a testimony and God's shown us something and then we make a formula of it. This is how to do Christian life. And we tell everybody else about it. And we brag about it and boast in the Lord and, you know, just like Job's friends all came out. Look, you're only in this mess, Job, because you didn't praise God. Or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. Christianity is much more than that. It is us, I'm going to follow Jesus because I want to know him. I want to know him. So Paul says, I want to know his sufferings. Where is that in the church? Because there's going to be no glory until we are united with him in his suffering. How many want glory? And they'll ask you, why do you want that glory to fall? When I pray for revival, I'm not praying for a glory time just because I like glory times. I want people to know and see the heart of God and get a fire in them that they will follow him with everything that they are, even if it kills them. In fact, it will kill you because there's nothing good in you. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. And he puts something in us that we desire him more than anything else. So, finally, Ephesians. Finally, my brethren. I've got to find it now. Finally, my brethren. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I used to think I was strong in the Lord in so many ways. And I realized it was just a brittle kind of strength because it was just me. It was just me trying to be strong. And I thought, okay, strength, I will study the scripture, then I'll be strong. I will pray continually, then I'll be strong. I will praise continually because then I'll be strong. You see, the motivation is wrong. It says, be strong in the Lord. So we're right at the end of the age, and he talks about it in terms of a warfare. You know, we've heard all the teaching on warfare, put on the whole armor of God, you know, put the helmet on, we rah, rah, rah about all these, and our shield of faith, and I've got faith, and I've got my sword, and we're in our parade ground, and we've got all our buttons done up nicely, and we know how to keep rank, you know, in church. Isn't that brilliant? We know how to keep rank in church. And we know how to wave our swords around. And we know how to hold our shield of faith. It's actually in your home. And that's where it really outworks. That's where it's really. But we are in a warfare. And we're actually, you know, everybody I think would agree, we're at the end of the ages. The final battle is upon us. It's either just theory or it's... I don't know about you. Do you realize where we are? Peter, the apostle, says to the people, says, the end of all things. This is right back when he wrote this. at the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious. This isn't playing games anymore. This is a life and death struggle. We wrestle that word, it's a life and death struggle. It's not just when we go to the games and see, you know, it's good and he's won and give him a ticket and, you know, encourage the poor old loser, next time you'll get him, and we just do life then. No, it's literally a life and death struggle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. And then he describes where they are. They're in our thinking. When the Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come, it's not talking about natural wars. It's not talking about disasters. God said they're going to come. What did Jesus say when they happen? Don't worry about them. All right? It's not about earthquakes. It's not about any of those natural things, except God uses them to wake people up. He says the perilous times are because what? Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, you know that Forrest Gump movie, you know, they ask you, are you stupid? And he goes, stupid is as stupid does. I thought, yeah. What do you do? What do I do? I mean, we could say all the stuff, but how are you really living your life? Stupid is as stupid does. I think it really struck me. But we are in a warfare. And I don't want to give you good theories. I don't want to give you good little words. I want to tell you what the Spirit of God is saying to me. That we're in the last times and we've got to be serious and watchful. We're coming up to the last battle. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Look, we've all done the spiritual warfare. And I was talking to my brother Stephen, and I'm talking about spiritual warfare. You know, we go all get in a room and yell at the devil wherever he may be, and we come against principalities and powers in different places, and we bind the devil, we yell at him, and don't let me knock this, be too sarcastic about this, because there are times of that, but the reality of the warfare is when we get home in our everyday life. That's the reality of the warfare. Because mindsets, it's with your husband, with your wife, with your children. What are you believing for? Or have you lost hope? Because when you lose hope, that's a dangerous place to be in. Where to, what, bless the Lord at all times, to be continually praising. What's it all? It's about relationship. It's about the only one who can really strengthen you inside so that when things come that are overwhelming, you can finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers. Sorry, wrestle against. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Put your glasses on, David. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Do we really believe this stuff? Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So let me get back to, and having done all, stand. Let me get back to what Stephen said about, you know, some of our prayer warfare. And Stephen said to me that we're going out to fight battles, but God brings it to us. He brings it right to our doorstep. Isn't that nice? Isn't that good? He brings the battle right. And you just have to read scripture There's very few instances where God says, initiate a war. There was one I remember very vividly, and he said, you shall attack Amalek. You know what Amalek is typifies? It typifies, it was a nation, but it typifies the flesh. And God said this. He said, every generation will have war with Amalek. Isn't that an unusual thing to say? Flesh. And that's what the New Testament opens up. That's where the real battle is. You're either going to walk in the flesh or you're going to walk in the spirit. You can't do both. So we're in church circles, I'll speak bluntly, what I see is we're trying to balance them both. You will not be able to stand. I know when I'm trying to balance both. What does the scripture say? The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So you can't do what you want to do. You won't be able to do it. If you're still trying, well, you're in for a hard time. I would love to balance them. That's David Keyes speaking. You know, but God has called us to a warfare. Now, I'll tell you something about a warfare. We can pretend we're in the battle. We can pretend that we're getting trained for it. We're understanding. But are you in it? Paul said to Timothy, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. No one. So can we do it? If we're in a warfare, which is the real warfare. In the Old Testament, we've got lots of stories of battles. You know, this king rising up against this king, and then this king who cries out to God, he gets the victory, and then they have times of peace. I'm sorry to say this. No, I'm not. But in the new covenant, we're in a continual warfare. Paul's saying it. It's not a natural one, it's a spiritual one. And your biggest enemy, not the devil, it's you. It's you losing hope. It's you and me getting discouraged. I look back over my life and I look back at things that happened which were absolutely devastating at the time. And now there's a joy. I'm not saying I liked it. I'm not saying it was good. But I'm saying God has done something through that in me. And I think, what has he done? He has done something that it's about a relationship with him. You know, the Bible says that we've got to press on to know the Lord. We're talking Suzette, isn't it? And you're right in the middle of it right now. You're talking about, and you've got to press on. And it's not you trying to be strong, it's you just loving him because he's calling you. It's you not giving up on his love, not giving up on what he's spoken to you. You see, the fight is a fight of our faith. And it's a life and death one. Faith is not an accumulation of knowledge about God. Faith is you have heard him. And we all hear differently. Yeah, we hear the same word, but God knows us. He just speaks to our heart. And faith, isn't it? And he tells us who we are in him. He tells us what he's done for us. And then it seems that everything goes the opposite way. The attacks of the enemy are brought to us. The warfare comes to us. And we say, where are you, God? He said, I haven't left. You have in your heart. You've given up hope. That's why it says we're to fight the good fight of faith. What does Paul say? Paul, the apostle, says to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. What's happened? The battle's been brought to him. God said to Paul, Paul, you're my son. I've chosen you as a vessel, and I've chosen you to do this, this, and that. And Paul says, I was not disobedient. That's why we've heard from obedience last week. I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. He obeyed that call, even though, he actually had to make up his mind because he couldn't obey it unless he'd already made up his mind that he was going to lay down his life for it. You must and I must endure hardship. Is that a good word? You must. You must. But what I've found, it's in those areas of hardship that I've got such an incredible revelation of God. That I, looking back, I can laugh because of what God's done. I remember a time being absolutely devastated over my son, in my mind, being taken captive by the enemy, and I remember just I had no faith whatsoever. I was just a poor me. Everything's against me. God, I was even starting to get a bit angry about things. Here, I've been an elder. I've given my life to you. I've done this. I've done that. And now look. I'm getting angry at him. We get angry at one another, but really it's God. He's the one that created us all. It's all his problem. He started it all. We may not acknowledge it, but that's really where all the anger is directed, when we get angry with one another and frustrated and all that. So there's him. Think of Adam. The woman. If you hadn't have given me the woman, I better not go there. None of this would have happened. But anyway, you must endure hardship, but it's in those times that we can get the greatest revelation. Why do you think Paul said, I press on to know him? And then he says, that I might know him. And he says, I even want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Do you know that there's a mystery there that the church is avoiding? Because we're in a generation that loves pleasure more than God. We want our comfort, our security, all of those things. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you want to follow me, your security's gone. If you want to follow me, your comfort's gone. If you want to follow me, probably your family's gone too. He said all those things to people who said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he laid it out. This is what it'll cost. But let me tell you this. No one that follows Jesus, you can't follow him unless you follow him with all your heart. You're playing a game if it's not with all your heart. So you may as well make up your mind. I may as well make up my mind. Am I going to give all to him or not? Isn't that where it started? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. And then we go along the track and it's not so free anymore. Why? Because we get discouraged. We get disheartened. We get disillusioned. We get, the stuffing knocked out of us and we get overwhelmed. We get even in positions of hopelessness, total hopelessness. I think, God, why have you done this? But it's in those places where you will get the greatest revelation of God. That you're not going to get it by understanding. You're not going to get it by any other way but by this path of suffering. So Paul says, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be conformed with the death that he died. Isn't that weird talk? Unless you realize what's behind it. I want to be conformed to his death that I might attain that resurrection. You know, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is upon us. Do you want to tap into it? Do you want to find out what that really means? Because God's not coming back. When I read the Bible, he is not coming back unless he's coming back for a perfect church. What's a perfect church? A perfect church, and God says it, we are called according to his purpose. He's not that concerned about your security and your comfort. He's concerned about you being conformed to the image of Christ. The Bible says that we are being jointly formed with him. So that the very same heart that he has, we have as well. I don't know about you, but I think it's exciting. I think it's exciting. we're coming to the time when God's going to manifest his glory in all the earth. The final battle is coming, and we're going to be part of it. So I want to encourage you in your faith. Don't let it go. Are you hearing his voice, or are you hearing the voice of discouragement, the voice of hopelessness, the voice of weariness, the voice of this is just too hard? Let's instead press on to know him, because that's really, you know, you gain the whole world, and you'll never be satisfied with it. I won't be satisfied with it. I often think, oh, I'd be satisfied with this or that. And you get it, and it doesn't last too long. But he thoroughly satisfies so that we can have a joy unspeakable and full of glory even in the midst of the greatest trial of your life. That's the faith that he's given us. What does the Bible say that faith is? It's a victory. It's a victory that has overcome the whole world. Let's stand up. We're going to close in prayer. But it's Lord, as you bring us, as we follow you, as we press on to know you, I thank you that you are our glory and you are the lifter of our head. You are our strength and you are our song. We just don't want to say those as words. We want to say them as a reality of our hearts. We want to know you. Lord, I thank you for that gift of faith that you have given each one in this house. You have spoken individually, specifically, things into our lives, and we've made that choice to follow you. Lord, I thank you for your encouragement right now. I thank you, Lord, that you have given that choice. Thank you. Thank you that you never leave, you never forsake, but you are with us until the end of the age. We bless you. Lord, I pray any who are in any place of hopelessness right now, show them how to be strong in you. Not strong in ourselves, but strong in you. Even in places of being overwhelmed, I pray, lead them to the rock, to you who is higher, higher. Lord, lift up any who are in that place of just being so weary, can't walk anymore. I pray, lead them to the rock. Lift up their heads. Let that cry of the heart come forth. Lord, we want to know you. Our eyes are upon you. Lord, complete that work so that we will be able to stand in this last hour. And having done all, to stand, not as a victim, not as a poor me, but God having that victory that overcomes the world burning in each of our hearts because we know you. I pray this in Jesus' name. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.